Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen here. Hey, send us some feedback. Our email address, capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. That's capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. So while the new year brings quite a lot of unwelcome changes to Michigan residents with program cuts and new taxes taking effect, state workers and their domestic partners are among them, with legislation ending domestic partner health care benefits for most workers signed late last year. What will that mean to them, and why was the change made? To find out, I'm joined by Tommy Allen, the lifestyles editor for the Grand Rapids-based e-newsletter called Rapid Growth, where you can find his weekly column. The website is rapidgrowthmedia.com. Tommy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on the air.
So on December 23rd, Governor Snyder signed House Bill 4770, ending health care benefits for domestic partners of many state workers. In a recent commentary, you called this, quote, a downright sinister bill, although supporters say it saves the state money and that Michigan voters generally don't support domestic partner benefits for state workers. Aren't both of those things likely true?
Well, the question of, like, what is true and what is actually considered, like, essential in order to provide for the worker in our state. For example, you can save a lot of money by cutting all the health care for Michigan workers that work within the state. That's a true statement as well. But what is more the in line with where the state wants to go answer that we need to be talking about here? And I think that's what I was reacting to in my column in M Live last week, was what kind of state do we want to be going forward?
Now, you know, obviously in 2008, the Michigan Supreme Court ruled that the state constitutional amendment against same-sex marriage, which was approved by voters here in 2004, makes it illegal for public employers in that state to provide health insurance benefits to domestic partners of their employees. Is that not a strong argument against granting these benefits?
Well, there is an argument for that, except for there's also an argument for, did we have incompetence in our leadership within the state government? For example, our attorney general at that time, Michael Cox, made it very clear to the public he wasn't sure how this thing was going to impact everybody. And if we would just vote on it and we could determine afterwards, then we'd better understand what exactly we were getting. Well, for the people who voted to ban same-sex marriage in this case, they woke up the next day to find out the attorney general did know what he wanted to do, and he set out to immediately stripping out every benefit that covered anybody the same gender. And I don't believe, or same-sex gender, excuse me, I don't believe really the people of Michigan really wanted something like that. If they would have known up front, I think they would have really better understood what they were voting for.
So what is the underlying motive then for these kinds of moves to, and obviously the governor even supported it, signing this into law. What do you think is the underlying sentiment there?
Well, I think there's a couple sentiments here at work. It's like, why is our legislative so concerned with sexual activities of people in the bedroom? Because that's what they make it about if you listen to them talk. Whereas on the other side, it's just about a human rights issue here. It's about giving people dignity in their role as a worker. Here are the things that we offer people to make things more fair in our state. And so I have to ask myself, these things originate a lot of times out of our attorney general's office, these obsessions. Let's not forget we had somebody in his office obsessed over a gay student at U of M who went to the point of stalking him and then resigned from his position. The problem we have in our state is, why are we so obsessed with gay people? And that's what I keep asking myself. Why is it that HMA, who, if you drive down his street, he has a sign, they have these beautiful signs in their downtown district that say, you know, different things, words that describe their community, like faith, but right across the street is the word respect. You know, once in the street, you're right, we do have faith, and this is a very loaded issue. But if you cross the street, then you have respect, which is really more about what the Constitution was about, respecting the individual with liberty and justice for all. And so that, I think, is what gets a lot of people upset about this issue, is that the tyranny of the majority here in this case is making decisions for things that shouldn't really be that hard to figure out in this day and age. It's about fairness and equality, and that's what I was trying to get across here, is that we have a generation that I'm kind of at the front end of. I always say I'm too young to be a boomer and a little bit too old to be a Gen Xer. So I'm in that middle ground trying to find my place. And I think that's very symbolic for a lot of us. We're like trying to figure out, is Michigan really the right place? If we want to go forward, are we going to start to embrace these issues that other communities and other people of this generation are starting to say, you know, it's not a big deal. let's just give them health care. Not a big deal at all.
Now, the domestic partner benefits, from what I understand, were very short-lived. I think they took effect in 2011 and, of course, are now done away with, except it does exempt all kinds of workers, including university workers, a bill that the governor did not sign, citing concerns of constitutionality. So in terms of these positions, though, I mean, don't they reflect, A, the constituents that these lawmakers represent, and don't they reflect kind of a larger conservatism that is actually here in Michigan?
Well, I think that's obviously one part of it. I think the one part that I keep getting upset about is that we're so concerned about money as a state, and yet I look at the amount of time we spend on debating these issues and how much each one of these senators and representatives are worth per hour that they're obsessing over a social issue, which the business community has already figured it out. They've said, overwhelmingly, most of the big businesses in our state here believe that offering domestic partnerships is the way of the future, and they're embracing it. Fortune 500 has over 50% of their companies now offering it. They see this as a plus for attracting and retaining workers within our state. And I think that it's really important to remember here that Governor Snyder had to make a decision here. So why did he choose one group to get their benefits cut, and then the other one gets to keep theirs? Now, you can argue there's all the legal stuff, but at the bottom line, it would have been really nice if he would have vetoed both of them, just said, you know what, this is a waste of the people's money here. Let's stop bringing these bills forward and bring us bills that really mean something. It was even shameful, if you think about it, that he terminated these benefits 2 days before Christmas. Now, Merry Christmas to you who's getting the benefits. It's all short-lived as they are, but on December 23rd, the way it was explained to me from a lawyer, these bills would mean that their benefits were terminated immediately. I can't think of anything more sinister than telling somebody going home for Christmas, congratulations, you did a great job working for us this last year. Before we go on break, turn in your health care card. Really?
Well, he does, though, rely on conservatives in his party to move legislation of all kinds. This certainly would have drawn a reaction from them had he not signed either of these bills.
Well, I mean, he's shown that he's been able to stand up to him in the past. I mean, he stood up the conservative leadership who had a ridiculous bill about bullying, which would allow people to have an exemption to basically kick the crap out of your kid, and in doing so could get away with it because they would say it's my religious belief that you deserve to be kicked. He stood up to them on that, so why couldn't he find a little bit of grace to stand up and say, you know what, this is a little too mean-spirited. We don't do this in Michigan. We're better than that. If we're going to be the state that is going to push innovation and moving forward, we've got to innovate within the mind as well. And that means we need leaders within Lansing who are going to do the right thing, even when it's hard.
Tommy Allen, Lifestyles Editor with a Grand Rapids-based e-newsletter called Rapid Growth. You can find him at rapidgrowthmedia.com. Tommy, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much.